can disagree with you on that. Not even not here in years.
You went more in than that. How would you know what God is doing? And the same for me, by the way. I'm sorry.
Okay, let's begin. Page 330, Pasuk Perek Vav, Pasuk Aleph, Hoy. Whoa. Hashananim Bitzion. The word Hashananim means those that are living a life of tranquility. People who are living the good life. The good life, they are peaceful, tranquil. They are. They don't have a worry in the world. Those who are these people? These are the people living in Tzion. Okay, living in Yerushalayim. The Habaytchen Bahar Shoymon. Who now we're discussing over two different groups. Those people who have confidence in the mountain of Shoymon. Shoymon is the capital of the Aseres Hashvatim. So right away off the bat, we learn over here that this Nevuah of Amos, he's giving a double Nevuah. He is speaking to the people in Yerushalayim, which obviously is the Malchus of Yehuda, and the Malchus of Yisrael. Okay, on page 330. So woe to those people who are Hasha'ananim B'tzion, and those people who are Boitchen Bahar Shoymon, those people who have confidence in the mountain of Shoymon. Shoymon was the capital of the Aseres Hashvatim, of the Malchus of Yisrael. Nikuvei Reishis HaGoyim. The word Nikuvei means specified. Two different nations, Nikuvei means specification of the Reishis, HaGoyim. These people used to be, in the good old days, used to be the elite, used to be looked up to as the most distinguished. People took pride in. These two groups, the group of Yehuda and the group of the Malchus of Yehuda, the Malchus of Yisrael, they were specified as being the righteous, as being the best of the best. They had a reputation as being the elite. Ubohu lohem beis Yisrael, and this means, and the world would come to analyze their deeds, or to analyze their success. Let's right away read the Mitzudos for a more precise translation. Pasuk Aleph in the Mitzudos David on page 330. Hoy hashananim, hoy al elu hayoshim shanon b'tzion. Woe! What a rachmanis to these people who live in Tzion. The al elu hayoshim betach b'har shomer. Two different groups: the Malchus of Yehuda, Malchus of Yisrael. The ones who live in Yehuda, they are shananim, they are at peace with themselves, they believe nothing will ever happen to them. And the people who have confidence in Shomron, the Aseres Hashvatim, they have confidence in their success. Now here comes the harder part of the pasuk, Nikuvei Mitchila. In the good old days, they were specified. Hayu Nikuvim B'Shem Shehem Ha'amim Ha'mishubachim Shebechol Ha'amim B'mishpat hanhogas darkam. It used to be in the good old days, before they became corrupt, these two groups were specified by name. What does it mean to be specified by name? They were looked up to. They were viewed as being choshev. Sheheim ha'amim ha'meshubachim shebechol ha'amim. These two groups, the Malchus of Yisrael, the Malchus of Yehuda, were the elite of all the nations. B'mishpat hanhogas darkam. In their conduct, in their activities, in their deeds, the entire world held these two groups, the Malchus of Yehuda, the Malchus of Yisrael, in the highest esteem. Now, the next part of the pasuk is a shift. The Atah now, Bohu Kol Beis Yisrael lecholulam leechoyz, and now all of Beis Yisrael. Now the whole world is coming to. Now I'm not even sure I understood this. Okay, now we're going to analyze them. Now at this point in time, we're going to analyze how they have become corrupt. Okay, that's what it means over here. In the good old days, you were viewed as being special, as elite, as important. But now, things have shifted. Now, you've taken a sour turn. And the whole world now is going to analyze, they're going to come to Beis Yisrael, which means the entire Klal Yisrael, these two groups together, and to analyze how they have become corrupt, how they have sinned against Hashem. So the words Uvahu Lohen, it means the world will now come and inspect and analyze Lohem. Lohem is the subject of Lohem is Klal Yisrael, as the next two words specify Beis Yisrael. The world will now come to them, who are them, the Beis Yisrael, to look how they have become corrupt. Let's go to the next few psukim to get some idea, to get a more of a flavor of what's going on over here. Ivru Chalne Ureu. Chalne is a place. The world is being instructed to come and inspect, to pass through this location called Chalne. There's a place in Eretz Yisrael, Ureu, and see what's going on. Uluchu Misham Chamas Rabbah. Chalne is not a place in Israel. Chalne is from the Umas Olam. Chalne is a country. It's a country or it's a place of Goyim. Hashem is giving them instructions. I want you to come for a visit. I want you to come take a look and see the corruption that is taking place in Eretz Yisrael. The people in Chalne, come. I want you to get up from your location and go get on a plane, get in your cars, and come and see what's going on. Ulchu misham Hamas Rabbah. And likewise, you shall go from there, the people of Hamas Rabbah. Okay, this is also the name of a place. Uridu Gas Pelishtim. And descend the people of Gas. Gas is the capital of the nation of Pelishtim. Hatoivim min Hamam Lochoy Soile. The good people of these nations. Imrav Gavula Migvulchem. To see if your boundaries are greater than their boundaries. Okay, let's see what that means in the Mitzvot Stavit. Pasuk Beis in the Mitzvot Stavit. Ivru Chalne, the Ivru Lichalne Ru'u Tiv HaMokim. I want you to see the nature of this place. Let's just see a little bit further. Misham Luchu Es Hamas Rabbah Urdu El Du Descend El Gas Shel Polishtim Lirois Goydel Gvulam Vishivcham. I want you now to go to these places and analyze their boundaries. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. We'll come back and explain this a little bit more in a few moments. Let's go now to the next page. On page 333, the Mitzvah Stavit continues. Hatoivim v'chi heim atoivim min hamam lochoy soele heim hamal malchus Yehudu malchus Ephraim. Go look at these other nations. Go look at the Pelishtim. Go look at Chalne. Go look at Hamas Rabbah. I want you to go and look at these cities and answer the question: who is better, the Pelishtim or the Jews? Are the people who live in Hamas, in Chalne, are they better than the Jews? I want you to answer the question. The Mamlochis in this pasuk, the end of the pasuk base refers to the two kingdoms that we've just mentioned, the Malchus of Yehuda and the Malchus of Yisrael. V'chi gvulam galul migvulchem, is their boundary, is it greater, is it larger than yours? Umo imkein mitzosem bi ovel limos mishpotai. They have less territory. The point that he's trying to make over here is that these nations, when you look at them, you will discover that they have a lot less than the blessing Hashem has given you. And therefore, what this is alluding to is, how dare you then rebel against me and worship idols? I have been so good to you, I have given you a lot more than these other nations. Go, look at them, study them, and you'll see that their boundary is smaller than your boundary. Now this, of course, does not just mean their territory, the size of their land, but it means the blessing that's found within them is significantly less than the blessing that you find in your nation. So why then are you rebelling against me? Look how good I have been to you. Let's see Pasuk Gimel. Haman Adim Liyom Ra. Va'tagishun sheves chomos mitzudos haminadim heim haminiim es atzman b'maseh leches liyomra. They withhold you, the Jewish people. You withhold yourself from doing good to exchange it by doing to do bad things. Va'tagishun lo sheves b'mokim chomos ritzim loymar Bagoyla bi eretz akastim asher tekablu mihem chamas. Because of your sins, now you're going to be brought to live in a place of chamas, a place where you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer for your punishments. Okay, now let's take a look. Let's try it. Let's do it again. Read the psukim one more time. These three psukim, and then let's see Rashi. One more time. The psukim. Let's start again from just to review how we learned the pshat and the psukim according to the mitzvot of it. The pasuk again begins in paragraph. Hoy wo hashananim b'tzion v'haboitchim b'char shaymon. Hashem is now coming to lodge a complaint against the entire Klal Yisrael, which is broken down into two parts, the Malchus of Yehuda and the Malchus of Yisrael. The Malchus of Yehuda is called Hashananim, the people who are living a life of tranquility in Tzion, in the Malchus of Yehuda. They live without a care in the world. The arrogant people who live in the Malchus of Yehuda, of Yisrael, who have confidence that their government will take care of them. You two nations, Yehuda and Yisrael, it used to be in the good old days, Nikuvei Reishis Hagoyim. You were specified. You were held up as a model of being the best. In all of the schools of the world, they would say, if you want to be great, be like the Jews. Be like the kingdom of Yehuda, like the kingdom of Yisrael. You were singled out for praise. But now, Uvohu Lohem Beis Yisrael. The way the Mitzudos learns is now a shift has occurred. Now, well, I take that back. It's part of the praise. Let's assume that's part of the praise. You were specified as being the righteous, and in addition, the Goyim would say, Uvohu Lohem Beis Yisrael. If you want to learn about greatness, you want to learn how to be great, go to Israel. Go to the Jewish people, study them, you will learn what greatness is. So one more time.
They still say that.
What?
Yeah.
They still say that. In Echanami. That's right, Baruch Hashem. So the bracha has returned.
Well, once we can see past their prejudice.
Exactly.
So the bracha, indeed, Baruch Hashem, we're living in good times, that the bracha has restored. But this point in time, when Amos is speaking, he's speaking at the time when Hashem is just about ready to destroy the Aseres HaShvatim. And after that, there will be the Churban of Yehuda, the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So he's first telling them, it's such a great loss, because you used to be, in the beginning, before you turned sour, you used to be, you had a reputation as being the best of the best. And the nations of the world would single you out for praise, and they would say to their children and to their students, if you want to know what greatness is, Uvohu Lohem, you shall come to them, to the nation of Beis Yisrael. Go take a visit to see the Holy Land. You'll learn what greatness is. But now Hashem says, how did you merit this blessing? It's only because Hashem has given you this blessing. So why then now have you rebelled against me and have committed horrible crimes? And Hashem says, now we're coming to explain. Hashem now is addressing Klal Yisrael. I want you also to go on a tour of other nations. Ivru Chalne Uru'u. I want you to pass through the nation of Chalne and see what they have. I want you, Uluchu Misham, after you finish going on a tour of Chalne, the next stop in your tour will be to go from there to Hamas Rabbah. Okay, name of a place, a country. Rashi is going to tell us which countries they are. And then I want you to go down Urdu to descend to Gas Pelishtim, the capital of Pelishtim. It was called Gas. And I want you to answer me the following question. You know where you come from, Eretz Yisrael. You know what you have, what you don't have. And you've now taken a very elaborate tour of these three countries. I want you to answer the question, Hatoivim min hamam l'choy so'ele. I want you, now the nations that are the nations that I've shown you, they are the toivim, atoivim min hamam l'chay so'ele. Answer me this question. Answer two questions, in fact. Are you better than these nations? Im rav givulam migvulchem. Is their boundary larger than your boundary? Answer me that question. After you go on a tour and you view what they have in Chalne, Hamas Rabbah, and Gas Polishtim answer, tell me, are they better than the two Mamlochos, Yehuda and Yisrael? Is their boundary larger than your boundary? And the answer is obviously no. The answer is Klal Yisrael has much, much more blessing than these nations. So far we've laid out two introductions. Number one, the Goyim acknowledge you are greater, and you acknowledge that you are greater. There's no dispute. Sometimes you'll have a situation where they think that we're very great, but we know the truth. The truth is, we are not so great. You have that in very common people. They're jealous. Oh, if only I can change places with this fellow. I wish I lived his life. And this person hears, wow, they're jealous of me. Boy, are they mistaken. They don't know what in the world is going on. It's just a show. They think I have blessing. They think everything by me is rosy. Everything is fine and good. If only they knew how much I suffer. If only they knew how much stress, how much pain, the issues that I deal with. That's very common. And then there are sometimes people, they look down at you and they say, oh, Nebuch, this guy, he doesn't have nothing. He's a helpless. He's a Nebuch. And you laughing at them. Oh, they think I'm a Nebuch. I have a lot more than you. I have infinitely more than you. You're foolish to look down and think I'm a Nebuch. It's very common. There is a misunderstanding. Sometimes people think very little of you and you're very happy with yourself. And sometimes people think of you very much and you know the truth. I really have nothing. Hashem says, this situation, there is no disagreement. The Goyim are jealous of you and you acknowledge, that's right. Indeed, we have a lot more than you. There's no disagreement. The Goyim have specified, have held the Jewish people to the highest esteem, and the Jewish people know it's true. Because when the Jewish people go and inspect and they take a tour of what the other countries have, they say, Nebuch, you have almost nothing compared to what we have. So there's no disagreement here as far as who has more blessing. A very unique situation. With this introduction, Hashem is saying between the lines, if that's the case, how then can you abandon me and worship idols and commit crime and do all of the averos? How can you do this? The sin is unforgivable, and therefore you will suffer the consequences. What are the consequences you're going to suffer? Haminadim liyoyim ra. You are going to be withheld from good, and instead you will be designated, you will be guided towards a day of evil. Haminadim is a hard word. Over here again in the Mitzudos Tzion, he translates Miloshon Hanada Vahanada. I made a mistake. It means to be moved. You're going to be moved around. You're going to go into exile. You're going to be pushed around.
Isn't that like Nidui?
Excommunication. But he says over here, Hanada means to be movement. Banishment. You're going to be banished. You're going to be moved around. You're going to be pushed around and go into exile to a day of evil. You're going to be banished and moved liyoimro towards a day of ra. Vatagishun sheves chamos. And you will be brought near to live. Sheves means to live in a place of chamos, in a bad neighborhood. A neighborhood where you will be a victim. You will be robbed. In other words, this pasuk over here, Pasuk Gimel, is telling you, you're going to go into exile because of your sins. Okay, that is the theme of these three psukim. The Goyim are jealous of you. You know they have what to be jealous of. You know how much blessing Hashem has given you. There's no misunderstanding. And then in between the lines of these psukim, Hashem is upset. Why then have you committed averos? And because of your averos, I have no choice but to exile you and mi minade, as you said, to banish you liyoyim ra'ah, and to bring you, to send you into Golis, to cause you to come near Sheves, to live in a community, to live in a country where you will be robbed of all of your blessing.
What is the answer to that question? I mean, you know, it sounds like...
There's no question. It's a statement. It's a statement. Vayishman
Yeshurun.
No, it's a rhetorical question. Right, it's a rhetorical statement. Vayishmun Yeshurun Vayivat. This is human nature. When a person is blessed, you take your blessing for granted, and you become arrogant, and then you start exploring to have some fun and to move away from Hashem's mitzvahs. And that leads to Golus. This is the cycle of history. The cycle of history is we start out in a state of affliction, of inui oisam arba mei oshana. We do tshuva, we come close to Hashem, Hashem gives us blessing, and then we forget. Vayishman, Yeshurun, Yeshurun becomes fat with blessing, vayivat, and he kicks. Ein chamor noyim el mitoch kupa shel, are we noyim el mitoch kupa shel basar? A lion only roars, only makes noise and pushes its weight around when it has a lot, it's satisfied, it's a lot to eat. When you're starving, you don't make trouble. And unfortunately, this is the defect of a human being, the nesoyin of a human being, that when you are blessed, not to take the blessing for granted, but instead to direct, to give shevach vaidot to Hashem, and to be meticulous in not doing an aver. And this is the cycle of Klal Yisrael for the last 4,000 years. What more do we want than this? Okay, let's see over here now. Let's see over here. Rashi, these three psukim. Rashi back in page 330. Rashi starts Nikuvei Reishis Hagoyim Lochem Hoyu Koyrim Goy Hamishubach Shebagoyim. The word Nikuvei means to specify. As they look in the Mitzudos David. Nikvu Bashemois, he quotes the pasuk that the people, the Nesim, the leaders of Klal Yisrael, they were miyuchadim, they were designated, they were specified by name. People that were set aside, people of reputation. Here as well, Nikuvei means you had a reputation. You were specified, held in the highest esteem. Next words of Rashi, Uvolchem Beis Yisrael, Hoyu Bocharu B'mishpatei HaGoyim, Uvohu Lich Lolam. They selected the laws of the Goyim and came lichlolam and came to join them. Now, I'm not sure what Rashi means over here. This is also the similar words. Now, either it means that we have to really see some of the other mafarshim to get more clarity. Is this a criticism or is this a shevach? I'm always assuming uvo lahem beis Yisrael is a continuation of the praise that the Goyim have for the Jewish people. The Goyim, when they want to see success, what do they say to each other? Let's go visit Eretz Yisrael. There we will learn what it means success, learn how to achieve success. Now, it says here, Rashi, the word Hagoyim. Now, does the word Hagoyim mean the Umos HaOlam, or does the word Hagoyim mean Klal Yisrael? Because Klal Yisrael sometimes are called Goyim. In fact, the very beginning in Sefer Yirmiyah, Goyim there means, Hashem says to Yirmiyah, you're going to be a Navi for the Goyim. And Rashi there says, Goyim means Klal Yisrael. And the reason why it's called Goyim in plural, it means the Malchus of Yehuda and the Malchus of Yisrael. That's a bit difficult because at that point in the time of Yirmiyah, there no longer was a Malchus of Yisrael. But yet, in the beginning of Yirmiyah, that's what Rashi, I think Rashi there says. So over here, but L'chore, that's not the Pshat. Over here, it means something different. Just go back to the Mitzudos David and see exactly again how he says those words. V'ata bohu kol beis Yisrael lichlolam le'echoiz b'mishpatei hanhogas darkam. It would appear that I was mistaken. I'm not saying I was mistaken because we probably can find another one of the Mefarshim that explains the pasuk the way I have done. I'm willing to bet that is going to be true. We have yet to see. But it appears that Rashi and the Mitzudos are saying these words as a criticism. We're shifting gears. Here we have Klal Yisrael. Hashem is being critical of Klal Yisrael. You have been held in the highest esteem. So why then are you abandoning your legacy, your tradition, your values, and instead exchanging them with the values of the Goyim? So Mishnah means their ideology. Western civilization. Mishpatei is a term which means their laws. It's a loose term. It can mean their values. Their values, their culture. What? Laws. No, not necessarily. It means laws. Laws are just a taste of their culture. The culture creates the laws. It's not that there are laws and it trickles down. The culture is what brings forth what the laws are. It represents the big picture. In this context, certainly the word mishpatei means their culture. So here it's a criticism. Here the prosecutor first begins that you have been held in the highest esteem. And yet you have abandoned your greatness. Uvo lohem beis Yisrael. We have to translate the words out of order. Meaning, uvo beis Yisrael lohem. Okay, according to Rashi and the Mitzudos, the word lohem is put at the end of the expression. You, the Jewish people, after all that, have decided to leave, to make Yirida, to go to the Umos Olam and see what they have and take it for yourself. Yes?
No, I'm just going to state it simply. They want to be like you, so why do you want to be like them?
Exactly. It's exactly what Hashem is saying, right? According to Rashi and the Mitzudos. So it makes a lot easier to translate the words if you just change the order of the words. Uvahu beis Yisrael lohem. And yet you, the Jewish people, have went and abandoned your culture, your faith, and have gone lohem to the goyim. But if you read the words in order, then it fits better with what I was trying to suggest. Okay, not on whom I to go and just saying, I have a feeling we're going to see something like that in a moment. It's part of the praise. It's part of the praise that you have been specified. And the goyim would say, uvohu lohem, which means they, the lohem, would say, let us go and ascend to the base Yisrael to see success, to learn from their success. Okay, but that's not what it says in Rashi and the Mitzudos. So what I just said, we have to put on hold for a moment. Next, Ivru, next words of Rashi. Ivru chalne ureu. Law muscle, this, who is the subject of these words? Klal Yisrael. Why are you rejecting your legacy? Lama me'astem b'toyrasi lidabek b'chukos hagoyim. Why are you abandoning Ivru? What? Yes, to disgust, to reject. You're rejecting your legacy. You're rejecting the Torah. You're rejecting your traditions. Why are you rejecting? Do you hate it? Is it disgusting in your eyes? How do I see it's disgusting in your eyes? Because you have taken in, you have adopted, embraced the culture of the goyim. Go look at Umos HaChashuvos. It's not right. Look at the distinguished nations. Im toivim heim min hamam lochoy soele. Are they better? Are the goyim really better than the mam? What is the translation of the word mam lochoy? This is what the Mitzudas also said. It means the two kingdoms, the kingdom of Yehuda and the kingdom of Yisrael. That is the Malchus of Yisrael, the Malchus of Yehuda. Go look at these nations. Who's better? Who has more blessing? Who has who objectively has a better life? The answer is obvious. You do. Furthermore, oh, Rav Givula Migvulchem, Uma Motzosem Biovel. Who has a larger boundary? Both physically and symbolically, who has more property, who has more success in life? The answer is obvious. You, Klal Yisrael, have much more than them. And therefore, the implied question, okay, it's the hidden, it's not written in the Pasuk, but Rashi is in these critical words, it does not say these words in the Pasuk, but if you don't add these words into what's going on, then nothing makes any sense here, and these four words are critical. Uma mitzosem bi'ovel. What did I do wrong to you that you have rejected me? Look how good I have been to you. Why then did you reject me? What I did nothing bad to you. It's like, you know, they say about the, I told you this many times, the Chassam Sofer, they said that many Gedolim, the Chassam Sofer was, you know, he was the Rav of Pressburg. I mean, that was the second, that was the third Shtela. That was his later Shtela, last Shtela. And he was also Rosh Shiva, and he was very, very good to the people. He did for everyone. He went way out of his way to do for these people incredible chasadim, everything they could possibly want. And they were troublemakers. There were people who gave him a lot of grief, caused a lot of trouble for him. So there was one fellow who caused a lot of trouble, so he said to someone, why does he hate me so much? I never did him a taiva. I don't recall doing a mitzvah, so why does he hate me so much?
There is a psychological thing where you resent people that you have to.
Exactly.
On the one hand, you're like an ingrate.
You're beholden to that person. You can't live with yourself. Exactly, exactly. It's true.
It's human nature.
I don't want him to be beholden to you. A person as a human being wants to be independent.
That's children good parents.
Right. The psychology, it's very, very deep. Okay, it's like a Freudian type of mahalach. Why do children, do we find that they hate their parents? Where does it come from? It's because this idea is because it's human nature to be independent. And when you recognize that you are a dependent, it hurts.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you let it out the wrong way. That's not the only possibility. Okay, there's there's a lot. You can talk about this for hours, and now you go to get a psychologist here, talk about these things. But this is a bitter joke, and it's. I mean, they say this about a lot of gedolim. They say, I never did him a taiva. Why does he hate me? In other words, if I did you a taiva, I understand. You don't want to. You can't live with yourself that the rabbi saved you. Rabbi, who is a rabbi? Rabbi is a piece of garbage. And I have to live with myself. The rabbi, he saved my life. He helped me out. So it hurts. But this guy, I did nothing for. So what does he hate me for? So Hashem basically... What?
The rabbi who keeps a ledger of stones on his desk. And every time someone comes to see him, he gives him two small stones. So he asked him, how come, why do you do this? Says, I know he's
going to
throw stones at me when I'm through.
She's small stones.
First day, she shouldn't take psychology. So he comes and this is 40 years ago, with a ring in his ear, and he says, don't you hate your mother?
So he says the first thing?
The first thing
he says in the class.
I looked at the Pesiak, those days we were broken cows.
Wow.
He says, she does everything for you. Don't you hate her?
Oh, it's very good. It's good. Yeah, I like
and
it.
And I thought it was crazy. Now you bring it up.
That's what he said. It's psychology enough. But I know. It's the whole field has changed. All the fields of science and what they teach, the field of psychology appears to be the most extreme change in the syllabus and approach. This is what I have been told. It used to be 40 years ago, to get a PhD in psychology, or even a psychiatrist, also, you mamash have to become an apikoros. the curriculum is very, very heavy, in things that are mamash kineged kol haTorah kula. And they got a reputation that a person that has a degree in psychology, you know, watch out. Today, no such thing. Today, it's gone mikotze ela kotze. I don't know. I haven't taken too many courses in psychology. But today, from what I've been told by people who are in the field, there's no such thing. It's true. They acknowledge it used to be like that. But the field has changed so much. The technique and the syllabus and the content, what they teach, is not at all anymore with an approach that is connected kol haTorah kula. In fact, Adaraba, it very much is in line with a lot of the divrei Musar that we are familiar with from Chazal. Yeah.
There is I'm teaching a social studies course, and there is a thing about religion versus what they call self-determination, to be able to think on your own psychologically. A religion, remember, the definition of religion is organized way to worship a higher being. So if you follow religion...
That's a great translation. An organized way to worship a higher being.
That's the definition of religion.
Okay.
It could be spiritual. And
an organized way. I like that. Yeah, okay.
So the shot is, though, if you're religious, that means you have to listen to whoever, the rabbis, the priests, the pope, whatever, telling you as an individual what to do. On the other hand, if you want to encourage a person to be their own thinker, to think on their own, you don't have to follow this organized way of doing things. So there's a contrast. That's why Freud was against religion, because he felt religion laid down, thou shalt not do this, you must do this and do that and do that.
Be independent. Whereas be independent.
Psychiatry wanted to preach
against religion. That's one prat. That's one element. There's a lot more than that. Many, many years ago, someone was explaining this to me, and I was very fascinated. I never understood all this. And he was telling me to get it, when he got a PhD in psychology, his doctorate, what he had to, what he had to do. He had to do a psychoanalysis of himself, and he explained to me like it's serious business. It's a very serious business years ago of getting a PhD in psychology, you're really touching upon dvarim ha'imdim beruma shalaylam in a very bad way. But today, no more. Nothing is like that. No one forces you to do anything like that. You can get the highest degree, and there's no issue whatsoever. And people, there was a transition where people didn't understand. Like you're going to college, you're majoring in psychology, a Beis Yaakov girl, a yeshiva bocher, like are you mind when you become an abikoris? It's not like that anymore. That was true years ago. But not anymore. Today, there's a whole different world today. Is that what I'm saying? It's true? Yeah.
They told him not to take it. I mean, the guy in the yeshiva, if you went...
It was worse than philosophy.
If you were speaking as someone who did major in psychology...
you major in psychology?
Yeah, I'm a PhD dropout.
So tell us the truth.
Psychotherapists, you know, then they had to go through the process of being psychoanalyzed, and it certainly, you know,
it's true what I'm saying.
It could be a hostile.
So this, what I'm saying, there's an element of truth to it.
I mean, there's all branches, there's all kinds of branches of psychology.
Right, but it's grown enormously today. Today there are so many from psychologists. There are too many from psychologists. That's right.
Psychiatrists.
That's right.
So obviously, they're able to do it.
Right. Today it's not like that. Today it's a different mahalach, a different approach. By the goyim, not talking about the form, but by the goyim, you go to the best of the best to be trained to understand. You go to goyim. You don't go to the form people. And what they're teaching, their approach, what they're doing. What they say is no longer an issue. It used to be an issue. It was a different. It changed. Things changed, of course. Let's go further. So here we have Ivru Chalne Uru. So therefore, Uma Mitzosem Bi Ovel. I've been only good to you. What have I done evil to you that you have kindness on me? Now here Rashi tells us the big mystery. What are these three nations that Hashem is telling us that we should compare ourselves to and answer the two questions? Are they greater than us? Is their boundary larger than us? What are these nations? Chalne is Bavel. Next Rashi, Hamas, Antiochia. Okay? Antiochia is?
Antioch.
What is Antioch? Greece.
No, it's not Greece. It's either Syria or Turkey.
Syria or Turkey, okay.
Think of the name Antiochus, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you had the Syrian Greeks.
Syrian Greeks.
So they had the Greek culture.
The Greek culture, but they were Syrians.
So they named it Antioch, which is
Syrians. Okay, good.
And there are a lot of things.
And why do you say Turkey? That also was part of the
border,
region?
Yeah,
border, it's the same region. Okay, Antiochia. Okay, so we're dealing over with Syria and Turkey. Gas Pelishtim. Now, Pelishtim is a very, very large country. Wherever they are, the Eretz Yisrael is the land of the Pelishtim. And Gas is the famous in Shmuel. It's all over the place. In Shmuel, Gas is the capital. The Chashuvashe Bechameshes Sar Nehem. Shehi Kiruya Neseg Ho'ama. Neseg Ho'ama is the name of a place. Al Shem Sheroide Es Kulam. The peg.
13.
Yes.
In
oh, okay.
Not the greatest map, but it's okay. You look there, to the north, you see there's an arrow pointing on the right corner, pointing towards Bavel, where Kalne is.
Okay.
And you'll see Hamas Rabbah.
Great,
pointing.
Okay.
It's past this page, but it's in the Syrian area, you can see. And Gas
is down below
the red line,
over there. It's not on the coast. Not where you'd expect the Pelishtim to be.
It's a great picture. Wow, this is a great map.
Right next to Lachish.
It's a fantastic map, Rabbi Yisrael. You look, you see over here the two, the Malchus of Yisrael, the Malchus. Gas.
Yeah,
no, Gas.
Not, I mean, it's not considered like Haza or.
Okay, so the Pelishtim is, they are far, the Chameshes Sarnit. Sarnit means the officers, the Sarnit means the leaders, which the land was divided into five different. You see over here in Gas, Lachish, Ekroin, Ashkelon, Ashdod. Okay, those are the five, the Chameshes, as also, that's the sixth though. So how do we divide up this? It says five here, there are six. They show you over here six different popular cities in the Pelishtim. And all of these names are very familiar to us from Sefer Shmuel. All the stories that we have in Sefer Shmuel, it happens either in Ashdod, in Ashkelon, Aza, Lachish, Gas, and Ekroin. So it says here there were five Chamesha Sarnei Pelishtim, and here we have six. How do we divide them? I do not know. But the most choshev of these six, he was Gas. And that's why Hashem over here is saying, go down to Gas. See what they got there. Go look at their GPD. Go look at their, see what kind of their standard of living. See what the minimum wage is. Go see their economy. And you'll come back and you'll tell me their life expectancy. You'll come back and you'll very quickly acknowledge that in Eretz Yisrael, its life is a lot better. A lot more opportunities, and therefore, how dare you rebel against me? So, Chavas Antochia, Gas Pelishtim, Chashuva Shemachamesha Sar Sarneim. Shikruya Mesig. Mesig means a peg, is that what a Mesig means? A Mesig, what's the word of a Mesig? Mesig. Mesig Ho'ama. The Mesig Ho'ama, okay, I'm not sure. Al Shem Sheroide Eskulam Vihi Eim Hamalchus. It's called the Mesig, which is referring to Gas. Gas was the boss. A Mesig. So Mesig, one of the letters, that's right. That's right, I don't know.
Isn't that what the accent marks?
The stop sign, right. Mesig, what does it mean literally? I don't know, I'm embarrassed. I don't know what it means literally. A Mesig. A Mesig is a straight vertical line at the end of, on a word, where the emphasis goes, where the accent goes. When you don't have trop, or even when you do have a trop, you give it a secondary accent. But here it says it's the Mesek O'ama, means, I guess, the emphasis, the Mesek O'ama, the part of the Ama, of the Ama means, normally means a beam. I have to look it up. Al Shem Sheroide Eskulam Behi Eim Hamalchus, this was the Eim Hamalchus, this is the most choshuv of the Chameshes of the five lands. So now, therefore, and what is the answer? The answer is obvious. You have more. What is the next pasuk? Therefore, as a consequence for being rebellious, you're going to suffer, and you're going to Yehamanadim liyom ra, atem menidim atzmeichem liyom ra. So Rashi learns here, atem means you, due to your sins, are menidim atzmeichem. You have done it to yourselves. You have no one to blame but yourself for all of your trouble. By rebelling against Hashem, after everything that Hashem has done for you, all of the goodness, it's now going to be for you liyoyim ra, a very bad day. Vatagishun atzmechem lo sheves begolus esav achicha. Now you have brought this upon yourself. You're going to go near to live in golus. Which golus? The golus of Esav. Now this is a very strange Rashi. Esav achicha, because the golus that we're referring over here is not Esav. What does Rashi over here say? Let's see. We're discussing over here the golus of Yisrael and Yehuda. Yisrael was exiled by who? Sancheriv. Sancheriv has nothing to do with Esav. The golus of Yehuda was through Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel. Bavel has nothing to do with Esav. Esav comes later. Comes to Churban. Edom is the Churban Bayis Sheni. So what in the world is Rashi here saying? Vatagishun atzmechem losheves begolus Esav achicha asher yachmois eschem. Why is Rashi saying that this must refer to Esav? Because the only nation which we could apply the word chomos is Edom. You cannot apply the word chomos, Rashi appears to teach us, in regard to Sancheriv and in regard to Bavel. Bavel and Sancheriv are wicked nations. But the word chomos is not the correct word. The word chomos is a reserved word for Esav. And therefore, what Rashi appears to be saying is that this pasuk here, Amos, is coming to predict Gesundheit, the Chorban Bayis Sheni as well, Gesundheit. So in other words, there are really two expressions. If you look at the expression, it's interesting. Hamanadim Liyom Ra is the Chorban Bayis Rishain. Vatagishun Sheves Chamas is the Chorban Bayis Sheni. Okay, so that's how Rashi appears to be saying. Over here, you're doing Averos. The Malchus of Yisrael, the Malchus of Yisrael are doing Averos, and therefore there are going to be consequences. And the consequences are going to go on for a very, very long time. There's first going to be the Golus of Yisrael and Yehuda through Sancheirif and through Bavel, and that we're calling a Yoim Ra, and then there'll be a brief period of time when you will rebuild. You will rebuild the Bayis Sheni, and then it's going to happen all over again, and then you're going to suffer Vatagishun Sheves Chamas. You're going to go into Golus through Esav, Edom, the Golus of Edom. Okay, he's predicting here, according to Rashi, the Churban Bayis Rishon and all that it entails, and the Churban Bayis Sheni. Well, how do we know the word Chamas? Mishnemaboy, Mechamas Ochicha Yaakov. Zeh midrash shel Rabbi Shimon Zatzal. Okay, Rashi here is saying Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. It's very unusual over here, or shel Rabbi Shimshon. Different gear says Rabbi Shimshon or Shimon. Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. This is not Rashi's style to write Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. Does Rashi ever you say Zeichet Tzadik Levracha? Very rarely. You say Olav Hashalom, Zichrona Levracha, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. That sounds like the 21st century. Inflation. We live in a world of inflation. What used to be Olav HaShalom became Zecher Tzadik Levracha. What used to be Zecher Tzadik Levracha became Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha L'Chai Olam Haba. What used to be Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha L'Chai Olam Haba became Hagoyin Hagadol HaAdmar. Okay? We live in a world of inflation. Okay? Rampant inflation, but that's not what it says. So Rashi over here says this. So this right away, this is suspect. This is not Rashi yet.
So I don't know
if this Rabbi Shimon or Shimshon. It's a machlok. Is it Shimshon or Shimon?
But it does say that this statement is also found in Vayikra Rabba. So certainly it goes back to that. What was the? Oh yeah, Mesed Amah is an ox goad. Which means?
Meseg means a goad with thorns. Amma is a stick. A stick that's the size of an amma. That's the goad. At the end of the goad, there are sharp points. So, l'chor, that's the meseg. The meseg of the amma. The amma is a stick the size of an amma. What is an amma? The distance from your middle finger to your elbow.
Because it ruled.
That's an amma.
Because it was a major city.
It's the boss. The one that has the meseg, the goat prod, is in charge. Right. He tells the animals where to go.
You also say it's a place name. So.
Okay. Very good. So meseg must mean something like, I guess, thorns or pricks. The pricks, which together, mesegama, means an axe goat. Yes?
I just want to tell you one comment on your statement. Rabbi Reisman, the Sefer Pathway to the Prophets, points out, that, I think, I've got myself,
the Gemara says.
No, Mashiach says he doesn't say it. The Gemara doesn't say it's for living people.
Does say the Gemara does say.
Okay. I looked up.
Okay.
The Gemara says when you about a father, how many? You say I need kapara, and after so many days, you say zechutzal broke. But the Mashiach brings down specifically, unless you. Sinai Gemara, there's a different version, and I haven't seen it. But the Mashiach brings that you could say it for a living person.
Right. It was really meant to be said for a living person. Today, for some reason, we have adapted it to the dead. Let's go further. So here we have over here, that's the first interpretation. Then we have Devaracher, another interpretation. We'll see the Tzivzichin in the moment of Devaracher. Hamanadim liyom ra, hamavazim al nevuas yimei yira. He translates the word Hamanadim, a whole new interpretation. Hamanadim does not mean that you have brought upon yourself Chorban by rebelling, and therefore you're going to go into Menadim, you're going to go into exile, to be banished. But rather, the people were Menadeh, they banished the Nevi'im that open their mouth to tell the Jewish people, if you don't shape up, you're going to suffer a day of Ra. So the Menadim, the subject of the word Menadim, is the prophets, is the Nevi'im. The people would banish and would excommunicate and harass, beat and torture anyone that would dare say, a Yoim Ra is on the horizon. Hamenadim liyom Ra hamavazim al nevuas yimei ra'a shehanevim misnabim lohem. What does that mean in this interpretation? Zeu kmo shamar Yeshaya, hoy magiye vayis bebayis, vatagishun sheves boteichem zo etzel zo al de chamos. People that would steal territory. Okay, so what means in Yeshaya means magiye vayis means when no one's looking. No one, I have property, and there is a boundary. There's a boundary and there's a marker in the middle of the night when no one's watching. I pick up the boundary. Marker and I move it over. So my property has now just expanded 50 feet. I let a couple of years go by and I pick up the boundary and I expand a little bit more. I bring near my bias to the neighbor's bias. I expand, it's an expression which means I steal property illegally through Gezel, no one knows. No one's watching. There are no cameras. There are no records. I'm able to illegally expand my territory and no one... What? I'm sorry?
Encroachment.
No one is watching. Right, exactly. You very cleverly, you have techniques. There are, the Gemara, I don't remember, but we remember there are techniques that they would employ to very cleverly steal people's property. So he says exactly what the pasuk over here means as well. It means v'tagishun sheves v'teichem. The first interpretation was that you bring yourself close to a time of chamas. You will be exiled from your holy land into the land of chamas, the land of Edom, Golos Edom. The second interpretation says we're not discussing Golos. We're discussing your evil conduct. You bring near sheves. You bring near to yourself territory. Sheves means a place to live, a place to reside through chamas, through theft, extortion, through illegal means. You are ganovim. The worst type of a ganov is a person who steals real estate. Okay, stealing money is terrible, but it's much worse. The worst type of gneva is to steal real estate. That's real. That is considered worse. Maybe that's why they have such a, you know, the Umos Olam. You find that in the world. World wars are fought usually over land. They're not usually fought over assets. They are. I mean, oil, obviously. Oil is a big of commodities. If oil and precious metals, money. But territory, you find in world history, is something which really gets people excited to the degree where they're willing to die.
Look at our own history. War with Mexico still lands.
Territory is something that is very severe. So that's how we learn the pasuk here in the second interpretation of the pasuk. Okay, let's take a look over here at some of the mafarshim. Let's see how much we can do in a few more minutes. Let's look at the radak. Radak, beginning of the new perek, is a long radak. Let's just try to see what we can do. Aleph and Beis, Choy Hashananim B'Tzion. Shomer Choy Yerosh HaMamlocha L'Yisrael. V'Tzion Yerosh HaMamlocha Yehudim. On page 331 in the Radak. Okay, it's so very simple. We have over here, this is a double nevuah. A nevuah relating to Yehuda and Yisrael. Shomerim is the capital of Yisrael and Tzion is the capital of Yehuda. V'Yomar. And what does he say? What does Amos say? Oy Lohem Lo Ashirim Asher Bohem Shem Sha'ananim Uvoitchem Shlotov Elem Ra'ah. These wealthy people are living a life of tranquility and they have confidence that evil will not come upon them. Ve'enam choylim v'choyavim al asher golu b'nei Yisrael k'moy sh'omar b'soif ho'inyin. Now here he's coming to add something new into the parish of the pasuk, which we have not yet seen, and he's basing this upon the end of the parak. And this is something we've learned about a few times, and it's a very frightening concept. That is, the people in Yehuda were criticized for not having feeling, having pain over the galus of the Aseres HaShvatim. Not only do they not have pain over their exile, they actually rejoiced. They made parties. And that, why were they so happy? First of all, they said, good for them. They got what they deserved. Number two, now we will inherit their territory. Now we will go up north and we'll take over the whole land of Israel. This is what's considered to be a very grave sin, because these are your brothers. These are Jewish people. Binfol oivecha al tismach. That's saying that a goy to a degree. Alachas kam v'kama, when you're dealing with your fellow Jew, don't rejoice when your fellow Jew suffers, is exiled and suffers. And how that's a very powerful limud musar for today, in today's day and age. There are many segments in Klal Yisrael, all different types of Jews, modern Orthodox Jews, Hasidic Jews, Litvish Jews, all different types, all different colors and stripes, v'chulu v'chulu. And everyone has, not everyone has a good day all the time. It's always in the news, events, when this segment of Klal Yisrael is not doing so well, or this segment of Klal Yisrael is in trouble. Okay, you can analyze all the different groups. It is a very grave sin for any one group in Klal Yisrael to say, good for them, they got what they deserved. Finally, the government caught up with them. Finally, you see what this led to, this type of behavior led to, led to this, led to that, v'chulu v'chulu. It's very easy. It's very easy for one segment of Klal Yisrael that has a very different hashkafa to gloat in the pain and suffering of another segment of Klal Yisrael when they don't have a good day. Not everyone has a good day every single time. Every goes, it's musical chairs. It's musical chairs.
Or even if the other segment are Irish, we shouldn't be happy.
Exactly, of course, of course. That's the point. So here, so therefore, this was considered to be, this is a very powerful limud musar. One of probably the most significant things you take out of Nach. You take out of Nach is this lesson is...
Yeah, but who are you to judge?
Exactly. Mind your own business. Exactly. 100% you to judge. Who are you to judge? Exactly. Just because many people, whatever they are. We don't have to elaborate. And this was a major criticism of Klal Yisrael, especially to the people living in Yehuda, in the Beis HaMikdash. When they saw that the Aseres HaShvatim were exiled, they did not feel their pain. They did not suffer along with their exile. And in fact, they rejoiced and they said, wonderful news, now we will take over their territory, and good for them, they got what they deserved.
The non-Orthodox sometimes accuse the Orthodox of something called triumphalism.
Okay. Exactly, you hit the nail on the head. Okay, but that's not the only example. There are within Orthodox Judaism,
yeah.
As mentioned, this is a musar. If the only one thing you take out of Nach, this is it. Who do you think you are? You think what? What makes you think that your blood is redder than someone else's blood? To each his own. Different strokes for different folks. That's the sort of life. What?
So let's say you have a non-Orthodox Jew that opposes things that clearly are against the Orthodox.
Okay.
Let me give you an example. You have a politician who's Jewish, and he votes for the liberalization of gay marriage, or that kind of a thing. And then you find out, something happened to him, he had a stroke and all that, and you say, good.
Well, and tzaddikim don't have strokes? And tzaddikim don't die? What?
That's why you got a
stroke. Shoot him. Foolish things. Who's to judge? Just because Rahman looks foolish, who's to judge? No, who's to judge?
Look.
No, you're not allowed to. Definitely not today's day and age. In time of the Gemara, maybe. Look, I always, look, I'll give you an example. Theodor Herzl. Okay, Theodor Herzl, did he leave over any Jewish, any some people will gloat. Look, he didn't leave over any religious children. Jewish. What?
I don't think Jewish, but Bali.
Jewish at all, right? Did at all, right? So, you see. Look, they talk about Mendelssohn. became Mendelssohn. Always read this. Whatever you say, Mendelssohn, oh, good for him. Good for him. All of his children went off the derech, v'chulu, whatever it was. I don't remember all the details. What's in your business to say that? What's in your business? You have a problem with him. He was not bikoris. He was amazes of mediach. Okay, that's it. That's where it starts and stops. What are you getting your children involved? Well, you're not gonna go find the Gedolei Yisrael, the real tzaddikim, who and their whole lives were perfect. All of their children were tzaddikim. Moshe Rabbeinu's own grandchildren, Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson was the head priest in the church. So who's greater than Moshe Rabbeinu? Is there someone greater than Moshe Rabbeinu who went to Shemayim, who brought down the Torah? He didn't need food for 120 days. His einikol was a priest in a church. Pesel Micha, he was the boss. So what do you have to go, and every time you have to mention Moses Mendelssohn, who was a May, no one's denying, no one's apologizing for him, Chas v'shalom, he's a Mesis umediach. But what do you have to get and go and say, oh, good for him, look what happened to his children. Mind your own business. And your children, you know what's going to be with? It irritates me to no end. You don't play God in the 20th century. You want to play God in the year 500? Okay, maybe, because the Gemara, you deal with Tanoim, Amoraim. You want to go learn Nach. You want to go learn the curses that the Nevi'im put upon certain people. Gesunte hate. I'm all for it. But we're living in the 20th century, the 21st century, the 19th century. We're not living in a time when you have a right to go judge people. People, there's halacha. A person who's a Rasha is a Rasha. Stay a mile away. Have nothing to do with it. V'zehu. And that's it. Don't go play God and say, look what became of v'chul of what went on to all the generations. That is totally wrong. And part of the lesson you learn from that is from the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im, when the Aseres Hashav, they were terrible sinners. They were the worst of the worst. They worshipped the two Eglei Zav. The sins they committed were beyond the pale, as we'll learn later on. And Klal Yisrael are severely criticized just because they did the worst Averos, and they were exiled to Ashur, and they disappeared off the face of the earth. What gives you the right to rejoice? What gives you the right to go and celebrate and go now take over their land? This is what we're going to learn now. None of your business. It's none of your business. What is the business of them? So certainly it's not our business today. It's very, we live in a world where it's very, very hard to know when to apply the brakes. Okay, you have to know when to go, and you have to know when to stop. It's very hard. You have to be extremely forceful and critical of apikorsis, and people who are coming to undermine lahachis klal Yisrael. That's right. You got to go out with a fire to squash anyone that's coming to destroy klal Yisrael. And that's it. Don't go. We don't need your commentary. The next line. Oh, you see, there was such a rush. Look at Hashem's divine punishment. Look what happened to them. Look at their children, their grandchildren, their great grandchildren. And excuse me, and you can't go show you tzaddikim gemurim that didn't have the same fate? Okay, mind your business. Yeah.
You know, you can't just say people who engage in Mishkav Zochin or everything, that they get AIDS. I'm not saying I'm happy and sing and dance, but...
You know, there are tzaddikim gemurim who went to the hospital for a transfusion and got AIDS also.
Yeah.
So what are you going to say? You're going to say, oh, good for them?
But isn't it also like a Rambam, a very famous Rambam, who if you don't learn certain things, it's like a Mida Achzorius. Rabbi Victor Miller was very big on this, and it was very, very controversial what he
what?
Said.
What? What did he say? What did he say?
About World War II. This was a very...
They got what they deserved.
Yes.
What?
They got the Haskalah. The Haskalah, the Haskalah is what brought... Okay, this is old stuff. Okay, this is old stuff. Okay. We're not Rav Victor Miller. Rav Victor Miller, Zeich Tzadik Levracha, was a goyin shebegoyin, and he was a tzaddik of Al Musar. But we're not Rav Victor Miller. We're not Rav Victor Miller. So we have to appreciate what he says, but don't repeat it. There's what to learn. There's what to learn, but there's not what to preach.
What about being happy about the demise of the conservative movement? Not the individuals, but the movement itself.
The movement, yes. The ideology, yes. The individual, no. The individual, no. This was the Shita of Lubavitch. I'm a Lubavitcher. Lubavitch, this was the difference between Lubavitch and Satmar. And Lubavitch, this is a fundamental difference between the two Mahalchim. And Lubavitch Rebbe criticized severely the false ideologies. And in fact, the book that I have, Rabbi Dalfin, who made this analysis, he writes, he actually tries to prove, he has a whole chapter to prove, that the Lubavitch Rebbe was a bigger kanoi in Zionism than the Satmarov. He writes, I'm telling you, read a chapter. I'll show you. Satmar and Lubavitch. He cites numerous examples of the Lubavitch Rebbe was a bigger kanoi against Zionism than the Satmarov. What is the difference? What is the difference? Why then today, when people look at the Lubavitch Rebbe today, the average person can think he was a religious Zionist. I think that's the impression you get. That's all the things that you see in the stores and all the things, you get the impression that Lubavitch Rebbe was a religious Zionist. And the Satmarov is obviously not, to say the least. But so he writes this whole chapter to show Mamish Pum Fakert. Mamish, he shows, he goes stories after stories of things that happened after the, you know, in his time, with things that he said and he did, how he responded, and people who fadreed him, and how he went to an extreme. So my high, so he says it very clearly. I'll tell you to explain to you the difference. The Shita, Lubavitch Rebbe would never, ever, ever criticize a person. A person who was a member of this ideology, a Zionist, he would never, ever, ever say a bad word about him. He severely criticized the ideology, but not the individual. If an individual who came to visit him, a distinguished individual would come to meet him, a head of state, a Zionist, irreligious head of state would come, he would take him in, he would hug him, kiss him, do everything he possibly can do for him. Ideology, he would give it to him. He didn't hold it up, but the person, he never held back. The Satmarov, he attacked individuals. He attacked individuals. If a person was a member of this ideology, he would curse him out. He would say about him, v'chulu v'chulu. Would he ever meet the Satmarov? Would the Satmarov meet with a head of state? Never, ever. Oh, no such thing. A different mahalich. Okay, I'm not to judge. I don't come near these people. We don't come near these people. Who's to judge? It was a different approach. Do you attack the ideology, or do you attack the members who are making the ideology possible? Possible. The leaders of the ideology. It's a different approach. Each one has their sources. Each one is either a Mekoyrus, Satmarov. You can prove 100 times over that he was right. And you can prove 100 times over that Lubavitch Rebbe was right. Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chai. They come from different worlds. They come from a different approach. Each one has their mahalach. He writes there in the book, but the observation is very interesting, is that what are the repercussions a generation later is when you attack the individual, then the next generation goes to a greater extreme. The next generation has gone to a much greater extreme to be even a bigger kanoim. And when you attack the ideology, the next generation goes, embraces it maybe too much. Embraces it more than, accepts it maybe more than what the Lubavitch Rebbe would have tolerated. There was a limit to what he tolerated. Today, maybe people view that the Lubavitch Rebbe would accept things even more than he really, really... And we don't know what he would say. You can't judge. He's not here today, so you can't really say. But it goes in the other direction. So it's interesting. You have different approaches. You always see this more and more when you talk about Gedolei Yisrael. What is the essence of a gadol, of a leader? What is the true, true essence of a leader? The essence is Haroya Es Hanoilat. It's not now. It's what will be the next generation, 2 generations, 3 generations. You take on a derech in life, you take on an approach, a hashkafa. Now you're going to get a lot of friction. You're going to have a lot of criticism. You're going to have this, that, and some of them are very strong. I know it's not popular now, but I'm telling you, you have to see the outcome. You have to see the big picture. Ezehu chacham haroya es hanoilad, the next generation. Where will this take us? What path will this take us down on? And decisions are made by Gedolim based upon 2, 3, 4 generations, what's going to come. That's Chazal, right?
That they made enactments thousands of years ago, and we see
the koyach, we see the brilliance of the chokhmah, That's the difference between a chacham and someone that's not a chacham. The one that's not a chacham is just making decisions for today. Someone who's a chacham is making decisions for future generations, and it's very, very true. You look at Lubavitch, you look at Satmar, things that they've done have really develop, mushroomed into much greater things today. You can argue, are you happy or are you not happy? Well, they're different approaches to life. But if this was their vision, well, wow, they were very successful, because what is today is not what was in their time. They've put into motion something which mushroomed into something that is much larger than existed in their time. Was this their plan? Was it not their plan? Well, we assume it was their plan, and it was very successful. Okay, so I mean that is what you hear this over and over about Gedolim, and you look generations later where it took us. Okay, we have to stop here. We'll take a short break.